I should not bite the hand that feeds me, Proverbs say. However, maybe I should bite the hand that feeds me if it prevents me from feeding myself. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Chapel, California. And the statement we have for our thought for today, I should not bite the hand that feeds me, Proverbs say. However, maybe I should bite the hand that feeds me if it prevents me from feeding myself. We have a very special student, and I use him far too often, but anyhow. He always had the statement that his mother smothered him with love, and he didn't have a chance to do the things he wanted to do, because she was always there making sure that he did it right, and making sure that he was happy, making sure that he had everything he could possibly want, and it's a sort of smothered love. But she meant it in all the goodness of her heart, and it scared the bejabbers out of him, and he didn't know how to handle it. And from that day until his, past 21, past 31, he was still shook up with his mom for his mother loving him. And I said, you should be happy. There's a lot of people who don't get any love from their parents. And, but smother love, yeah. You knew it was smother love. You knew that she just loved you to pieces. You knew it was good, but you just couldn't take it. And of course, at the time, it was kind of heavy duty stuff. And so you were biting the hand that was loving you. And people oftentimes do this. They oftentimes speak unkindly of the boss who just gave them a raise. Boy, he gave me a raise. He doesn't realize I've been fluffing off. I haven't been doing a good job. Ah, he knows you haven't. But he knows the job you have been doing is worth that money to him. And he's not paying you because of your attitude about yourself. He's paying you about his attitude about the work that the company is producing and the things that are being done. And when you bite the hand that feeds you, because you think that it's preventing you from feeding yourself, you got to be a little careful. You got to be a little careful. I know a lot of parents who work with their children, and they try to be so definite with them, and they don't know how. They don't know how to teach their children. They don't know how to be an example to their children. They don't know how to represent themselves to their children. And so they, you do your homework. Now you go to your room and you do, with all that violence and vehemence, if they would just relax and say, well, what wonderful thing are you working on in your homework tonight? It just take about a minute or two, and the kid will come up, oh, well, we're working on Egypt, and we're working on the pyramids. They say the pyramids were built by Egyptians, but each stone is heavier than any 100,000 Egyptians could lift, together. And the father would say, boy, that's something. Haven't they thought of that too? I don't know. There's one guy who thought of it, and I read about what he said, but the rest of them believe that they did this. And father said, well, you learn the fact that the rest of them believe they did it. That's what the school wants you to know. And then you think for yourself, how could it have been done if it wasn't done that way? Now, that's what they say it was done, but how could it have been done? And then the son says, Dad, I never thought of that. It was done. Now, how could it have been done? Well, now, after you finish with your homework, after you finish reading your lessons and getting all your stuff all done, then you take, if you like, say, a half an hour. And just sit down with a pencil and paper in a half an hour and say to yourself, how were the pyramids built if they were not built by the people? How were they built? Now, did some fairy come in and wave her wand and the pyramids magically appear? It had to be something like that, Were the early Egyptians aware of levitation? So they would, and teleportation and construction too, create, well, if they could do all that, you create the pyramid on the spot without a slice in it, one solid piece of stone. Wouldn't that be a fascinating thing? But you see, these are steps in consciousness. And if there were, can you imagine what would baffle our scientists today if they looked at one solid piece of stone that had been carved, you know, that appeared to be carved in the pyramidal shape, and that it was, its entrances and its channels and tunnels and so forth were apparently carved, but there were no chisel marks for carving because it was just like a beautiful hall and so forth. Wouldn't that be fascinating? And do you think that that son would get excited? Ooh-wee. He couldn't wait until he finished his homework so he could do his fun work. But then if his father every night would challenge him with something like that, mm-hmm. whatever. But the father's got to be alert too. Mm-hmm. He can't be, well, if you don't read what they say and believe what they say, you won't pass your course, or you don't. No, no. Don't believe what they say, but know what they say and know what it is. And Columbus thought the world was round, and he knew the world was round. And sailors had sailed across the ocean long, many times before Columbus. The Vikings were over here, and many others, you know, they were over the Norsemen and the Irishmen, and they used this was their backyard, their fishing backyard. My God, the whole Atlantic Ocean? Sure. Sure, a lot of them. And they came in rubber, not rubber, they came in leather rafts, you know, leather boats that they had tanned and fixed in such a way that it, you know, held them. And it was a better boat than some of the boats of today. And when it came to an iceberg, they just bumped off it, you know, and rolled away. They didn't crash into it and you know, destroy themselves. So, you see, I should not bite the hand that feeds me, Proverbs says, but I should be take the hand that feeds me and keep me from feeding myself and just say, okay, I will do my eating. And then I will go and I will study in my own mind what it is. Now, did you ever eat an ice cream cone that you didn't have in your hand? Mm-hmm. All the time. In your mind, you can visualize, oh, that ice cream cone I had the other afternoon was so delicious, I can still taste it. And you cannot. It's long since gone from your taste buds, but your mental taste buds, you can taste it. Mm-hmm. And you can see it with your mental eyes. You can't see it with your physical eyes because it's not there in front of you. But you see it with your inner eye, which is the eye that sees anyhow. And wouldn't that be something to teach children to listen to their inner self, to listen to their third eye, to see what it has to say, to hear what their ear that does not hear the physical sounds of the universe, what it sounds like? Did you ever hear a choir of angels? A choir of angels is a choir of angels. They are celestial. They are unbelievable. They are not supported by anything. I bet you that many times you wake up in the middle of the night thinking of projects you haven't finished, thinking of projects you wanted to get done, think, my God, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. And then you sort of twist and turn as you sleep, and you really don't go back to sleep. You should get up and do the project. But you try to go back to sleep. What is it that is going on in you that makes you think of the project? Now, we know this word, and we say this word is not a worthy word for us to even have in our vocabulary, but it's a word that we use and we allow to manipulate us and control us. And the word begins with a W and ends with a Y. Worry. Oh, yeah. We let this worry for something that we can't do anything about at the moment, disturb us. Now, if instead of worrying us, it would sparkle us with concepts and ideas to make the task that we're worrying about all the more easy, well, then that's good. But it doesn't do that. What it does, it makes us repeat things. When you have worry in your mind, you go over it and 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 over it. How foolish. How utterly foolish. But this is what our parents teach us to do. Now, you give some thought about what you just did. You give some thought about what's going to happen when you do things like that. Now, that's making you worry. If the parents would rather say, now, let's give some thought to what we could do instead of that. How we could have a greater result that we want than the way we did it, you know. Now, we all make mistakes. We all do things right or wrong. And sometimes we do things on purpose, mistakes, because we want to get attention. Now, what is it that you want to do? You see, if the hand that feeds us could encourage us to eat for ourselves, what wonderful people we could be. If our parents, our teachers, our world, ourself mainly, would teach us to think about what the world is doing, to think about what's going on in this universe, and think about how it's handling itself. Now, why is it that the Germans went up to Norway to get heavy water? What made the water in Norway heavy water that the Germans needed for their bombs and stuff like that? What made them go up there to Norway? Well, they didn't go up there. They needed something, and they were told that there was a substance in Norway that had been developed. It's not a natural water, as we might think. It's from a pond or something like that. But it's a water that has been created with certain minerals in it that made it heavy, that made it accomplish whatever the goal is they had in mind. Anybody know what they used heavy water for? They used it in munitions, I know, and they used it in making rocket fuel and things like that. But how they used it, I have never researched. But it'd be interesting to know. But that's just casual, you know. I don't lose, hey, there's a phrase for you. I don't lose any sleep over it. I don't lose any sleep over what makes heavy water useful for creating these things. I could, if I were interested, I'd just come up here and slam open the door, turn on the lights, you girls are sound asleep, you know, and I'd go to the library and I'd pull out the books on this research stuff and, oh, that's what it's all about. Oh, great, I just figured out what it's all about, wonderful. And you all get out of your bed and say, what you talking about? Oh, go back to sleep. I just found out what I wanted to find out. I looked it up, I found it out. Now I can go back to sleep. But this is what happens to us. We worry about things like that. And of course, that's biting the hand that feeds you. Because instead of worrying, just know that I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer, and the answer is known to you. And you do. You do. Why is it so often that it is the young who are the great inventors? It is the young who are the great dreamers and the great modelers and the great artists and so forth? Well, because it takes a strong young man to wield a chisel like Michelangelo. And I think the reason is that these young people have not yet been prevented from feeding themselves. They have not yet been prevented from going within and finding the wisdom, the genius, the wonder, the magic of who they really are. And this is what I suggest for us. Anytime you wake up in the middle of the night, or even in the middle of the day, say, ah, you think you have a eureka experience, you know. And anytime you have that, stop whatever you're doing and think about it. Think, what was that all about? Very nice. Oh, yeah. Yes, I can see now. And that is so beautiful. I had a woman in Hawaii, and she is one of our very, very good students, and she moved through the courses with great precision and quality. And then she became a wonderful minister out in Hawaii, too. And this woman was always saying, O-I-C, the letters O and an I and a C. And I thought to myself, I'm sure she means something by that. I hadn't drifted into it because I was being too obvious, you know, what was too much on the surface. So finally, one day I said to her, what is this O-I-C? You're saying it all the time. You don't know? And it's O-H, I, me, now see what it is that I've been looking for. I have an illumination. I said, oh, my goodness sakes. You know, what a simple phrase. And I had heard it before, but it just sort of came and went because it didn't stay home. But after that, my goodness, I had those experiences all the time. And, you know, I was just magic about it. I knew them. I'd had them before, but I hadn't put a label on them. But OIC is a good phrase for illumination, inspiration, and stuff like that. So, you, instead of biting at whatever is irritating you and keeping you from growing, see whoever is irritating you or keeping you from growing as your mentor. See them as a loving person in your life that is lifting you up and encouraging you and driving you to new heights. And and as you do that, you will feel so wonderful, so illumined, so good, that you'll even write home about it.
I like it.
You betcha. So, go for it. I should not bite the hand that feeds me, Proverbs say. However, maybe I should bite the hand that feeds me if it prevents me from feeding myself. Well, we don't necessarily want to bite anybody. But if we are prevented from feeding ourselves and we recognize it, and we do recognize it, then go and put on the feed bag. Go and meditate. Go and think about it. Now, parents and school teachers oftentimes say to children, now you think about what you just said or what you've just done. Now, what they could have said is, now you meditate upon what you have just said and done and see which direction you really want to go. Now, listen to your divine within. You sit in the corner there now, in introspect, listen to the divine within and hear what your divine inner self has to say to you about what you have just done and what better way you might handle it. My goodness, wouldn't that be something? Just imagine that. It's too bad. In American schools, they've taken the prayer out of school and the Bible out of school, and these things are still in Congress, they're still in the legislature, they're still in our government, but the government has taken them out of the schools, and I think that's unfortunate, because even that little bit, even if it's thinking the wrong type of things or going the wrong direction spiritually from what we would think or somebody else would think, at least they're thinking that somebody places value on prayer time. Somebody places value on introspection. Somebody places value on the divine, on God. And this perhaps is where our world is having a little difficulty, because we're no longer placing value on the divine. So I say, let worry go, place value on the divine, and enjoy. I love you, I love you, I love you. You all come back now.